I would say turn in your Bibles, but today is a day where we will pause and not look at our select portion of Hebrews, and I have a dark confession. I don't like preachers. I have very little patience with them. Most of them, when they preach, give pious platitudes and never get into the Word of God. Why you would give them 3 seconds to listen to them, I have no idea. Now, here's my next confession. I struggle with 2 holidays in my preaching. Christmas and, can I call it Easter? Is that okay? Some would criticize me for saying Easter because that's associated with paganism, but I struggle with these holidays. And all week, I struggled. Because you know what? When you come to church on Christmas and Easter, what are you going to usually hear? Here is what I was going to hand out this week. How do you explain the empty tomb? But you know what? You expect me to do that. 2 of the hardest holidays for a preacher, if they're not gaseous, pious platitudes, is how do you make those 2 holidays memorable? Because you're all expecting. It's like all, you know, for 7 years when Sandy was, we had the kids and they were little, for 7 years I would go to Costco and buy teriyaki chicken bowls. She's laughing, but it's true. I didn't want her to have to cook lunch, so for 7 years, every day at school, I had a frozen teriyaki bowl. You know those things you see, you know? And I ate those for 7 years. That's somewhat like preaching for these holidays. I don't want to feed you the same things. I've got to do something this morning to make this memorable. So I'm not going to give you, if you want the handout, you can get it on how do you explain the empty tomb. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to risk trying to do something different to get you to remember. All you'll have to remember in this sermon is 2 of the most important words in your Christian life and in the Bible. And you've never heard a preacher preach about it, I'll bet. Man, did I struggle this week. Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I can't give them teriyaki chicken bowls for 7 years. And I'm going to talk about 2 of the most important words. Everybody, when you have Easter, there are 3 words that everybody is jaded and used to when it comes to Easter. You know what those 3 words are? Those aren't the words I want you to remember this morning. Those are very important words. But you all know those words, don't you? I'm hoping to find the 2 words you've hardly ever, and I'm going to maybe ask you to raise your hand if you've ever heard 2 other words that are vastly important, equally important to that. But I'll bet you've never paid attention to it because they're 2 easily overlooked, 2 simple words. A verb and an adverb. Pastor Dave's going crazy. He's trying to teach us English. He is risen, you know. And we're going to look at some verses. These 2 words, this verb and this adverb, are so important to you as believers. and have profound implications, and I'll bet you some have never even paid attention because they're two very simple, easy words, but the theology, the ramifications of this are profound. So let's start looking, and I'm going to go through this and see if you can observe the two. I gave you a hint, but the theology of these two words, the biblically imbued meaning, is absolutely profound for you. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter first. Hebrews. You say, I thought we weren't going to go to Hebrews. Well, I'll bet you didn't notice these two words in Hebrews, even though it's been repeated three times, and it has directly to do with Jesus' resurrection. And ask yourself as we go through, what are these words, and did I pay attention to these words? Don't ever forget, He is risen is great, but you all know those. Here's two more words you better put into your mind, and you rest. You rest mightily upon these words. You ready? Hebrews 1, verse 3. And Jesus is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature. Jesus told Philip, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. If you know Jesus, you know the Father. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. When He made purification of sin, He sat down. Boy, if that wasn't a hint. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Take and you circle those two words right now. He sat down. Those are the two most important words in the resurrection, besides He is risen, and you might have no idea, but we're going to unpack what that means this morning. He sat down. You did it this morning, didn't you? You sat down. But in speaking of Jesus doing that, is tremendous importance. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. How many times does God have to tell us something for us to see the importance of it? You get some preacher that's filled with hot air. He won't or she won't look at every word. Hebrews 10:12, but having offered one sacrifice for sin for all time, He what? How many times now has the book of Hebrews mentioned that? Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. Let me tell you something. The Bible starts repeating stuff. That means it's an essential that you better notice. You better circle in your Bible and you better start paying attention to it, because the profound theological significance of Christ having offered one sacrifice and that He sat down is profound. Hebrews 12. When we get there, if we get there, of course, you know how I preach. It may take us a couple years. You'll be 10 years older. Dwight will have moved back from Texas if he attempts to go by the time, so we'll still be in Hebrews waiting. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, but the writer of the book of Hebrews is going to say something in verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Listen to me. Did you just read that? In this walk of faith, the writer is going to tell us, who do you fix your eyes on? That's why I can't look at preachers. I get real disappointed real quick. Matter of fact, the one that I have the least patience with is myself. if I can be honest with you, in the dark confessions. But you know what we have a tendency to do in our life? We're going to find out, well, you fix your eyes on whom? I had an uncle. He used to say, Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. And you know what I'd tell my uncle? You're right. Fixing your eyes upon Jesus. He won't disappoint you. People will. You know what the most famous lunch after church on Sunday is? Roast preacher. The author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down. How many of you have ever had a sermon where they associated sat down with the resurrection? Come on. Anybody? All week I kept saying, I struggled. Lord, I got to preach something that they will remember. And yet if I preach He is risen, everybody, you know what you're doing? You're going to fall asleep and start snoring. And I don't blame you. What in the wide world? Why would the writer to the book of Hebrews three times keep telling us when Jesus Christ offered on the cross and when He was raised from the dead, He sat down? You know why that's there and why many people don't know? Because a bunch of hot air preachers aren't preaching the Word of God. This has more profound theological significance for you than any other phrase, and it's equal to He is risen. Well, let's go back. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. See, why are we going back to Acts, Pastor Dave? Because guess what's going to occur in Acts chapter 2? Acts chapter 2. Two common words. Sat and down. And everybody overlooks it and has no idea the theological significance of what that means for you as a believer. It's the day of Pentecost. Chicken-licking Peter, who cursed and swore. Yeah, the first pope cursed and swore. Denied Christ. 6 weeks later, Pentecost, 50 days later, gets up on the day of Pentecost, and he proclaims to the crowd his firm knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that Christ was raised, and that He's poured out His Holy Spirit in verse 33, and then in verse 34, here comes those terms again. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but He Himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. There is that term again. Christ, after He was raised, after He had offered Himself and appeared in the presence of God, offering His own blood, as we've learned from the book of Hebrews, He sat down. Well, Pastor Dave, I see that it's saying that. What does that mean for me as a believer? Listen to me. When Christ was raised and He presented His blood in the true temple in heaven that we've been preaching about in Hebrews, there is a phrase that the Bible uses meaning that it is finished. How many remember in John when Jesus said, it is finished? The phrase, He sat down, is messianic. It was prophesied hundreds of years before Jesus that the Messiah would do His redemptive work once and once for all. And when He was finished with the work of redemption, He sat down and it was fully accomplished. What does that mean for you? That means this. Where were you 2,000 years ago when Christ died on the cross? You were in the future. So were all of your sins. And at the resurrection, Jesus Christ offered once and for all atonement, covering forgiveness for your sins. And listen to me. He sat down. That means this. Every sin has been fully paid for. Christ is no longer in the business of redemption. You've been redeemed. And He sat down. When sins come to your mind, remember the two words. He sat down. They were all past, present, and future, placed upon Him, and they are fully paid for when He sat down. Now let me add one other thought. This is from Psalm 110. If you turn to Psalm 110, this is one of the great psalms about the Messiah. And I'm at seminary, and at seminary they will divide up all of the events of eschatology, they call it, and they'll parse it and divide it, and I can give you a simple eschatology. Jesus Christ was raised. He sat down. It is finished. So what's next on the future things calendar?
Look at Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord,
sit at my right hand. Next time Satan bring something to your mind about a sin, just tell him, hey, you idiot. He sat down. So what's next? If Christ is sitting, why is He sitting and what is He waiting for? Look what this messianic psalm says is next in eschatology. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. You know what the next great event is? You've been redeemed. It's all paid for. He sat down. Now you watch. Paul said, today is the day of salvation. And the next big event is all these people that put their fist in God's face, and every last one that used my Savior's name as a curse word. The next event, He will make Messiah's enemies a footstool for His feet. The most important thing you can remember about the resurrection is not only He was raised, He sat down. And the moment He sat down, all of your sins were no longer held on your account.